We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Shrine. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
At the start of this edition of My Music, you might like to know that all four contestants have been passed fit by our physiotherapist. Or as fit as they're ever likely to be, John Amis and Frank Muir, on the one hand. On the other hand, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. First question, as always, to John Amis. John, at the top of one of his scores, Sir Arthur Bliss put rather a nice remark. "There are no problems for the listener," he wrote, "only for the soloist." Which work, John, and to whom was it dedicated?
It was written for Rostropovich.
Yes, that's right.
For whom I imagine there weren't any difficulties at all, because he seemed to be able to play anything.
Yes.
It was originally called a concertina, but I think it's now become a concerto.
Concerto, yes, that's right. First performance at Aldborough in 1970. Then you have the mark, of course. Frank, your turn. You may know the answer, but you don't know the question, do you? Frank, I had promised you this is the question I was going to ask. True or false, that soloist learnt to play the instrument in jail?
It's Ecker Bilk.
Yes. Therefore?
Well, when he was serving in India...
Ah, yes, you know this, do you?
Yes, he bilked his Dobie man out of some ackers and got jailed. Well, it must be true, otherwise there's no question.
Well, if it wasn't false, I wouldn't dare to suggest it if it weren't true.
It is true.
Yes, it is true, of course. Actually, Acker was serving overseas. He fell asleep on guard duty.
What is his real name?
Acker Bilk.
Acker Bilk.
Yes. Really?
They put him in a military jail, and there was an old clarinet there, and he picked it up and played Petite Fleur or something, and that was how it all began for him.
The most unlikely thing to find in a military jail would be an old clarinet.
Used for hitting people over the head.
Heaven only knows what they used it for. Yes.
I mean, it's almost like that
castor oil down
the,
it.
Or the scene in pantomime where there's a speciality act. Who comes on, and there's no other reason for them to come on, and they say, "Here am I in the forest, lost and all alone. Good gracious, there's my saxophone."
Yes. Ian, it's your turn. Can you give me two sets of lyrics for this?
Jemima, look at you. Oh, that's too high, isn't it? Ooh, I'm going to be in trouble if I go there. Oh, Jemima, look at your Uncle Jim. He's in the duck pond learning how to swim. First he does the breaststroke, then he does the side. Now he's underwater, swimming against the tide. And then there's another one which they rather boringly sing in the opera, which starts with the word gloire.
Gloire,
but
yes.
I don't know any more of it.
And there's the sort of translated glory and something to the men of old, isn't
that's
there?
That's right, yes.
Do you know about the Tomcat one?
No.
Tomcat swallowed a load of bricks. I think he only did it for kicks. Now he's in such a hell of a fix, he cannot stand up. He cannot stand up for the weight of his tum.
And there was one we sang during the war.
Yes, do you know?
Yes.
My lips are sealed.
Well, I have a faintly Baudelaireized version, is it? Beer, boys, and bother the band of hope.
That's it, yes. Yes. It's a faint version.
I think we've got that one sorted out. Dennis, which film song nearly went like this?
That's nothing much. Fair.
Oh, that's Sammy Kahn talking, and it's the song he wrote, which he called Three Coins in the Fountain.
Yeah. Yes, that's right. And the next one was Three Coins in the Fountain, as it was as it came to Britain in the end. Yes, in a typewritten song list that appears as Three Cons in the Fountain. I collect, Dennis. I think you would perhaps do. I collect these songs that have got themselves mistyped, like I'm in the Wood for Love. Isn't that?
That's one. I get a lot of lists of it. They're generally lists of old 78s that people want to sell, and mainly the misprints take the form of a missing letter when the lists are typed, so that you get like Dear Rosencavalier. I remember once came out as Dr. Rosencavalier. There are a French singer called Yes Montand. No, I think my favourite one was because he got it, the typist got it right, almost to the right to the last knocking, and it was a record of Herb Alpert and his Tijuana Bras. Yes.
I arrived once at a theatre in Billingham to sing an opera which was billed in enormous letters outside as the Barber of Saville.
Actually, in your opening remark about the physiotherapist, that was once put down somewhere as Physio the Rapist.
Well, so much for that. On to the next round, because this concerns musical people. I'm going to give you three or four names and ask you which of them was born first. Which of them was born first? John, which was the first to be born? Chopin, Mendelssohn, Verdi, or Berlioz?
Berlioz.
That's right, in 1803. Mendelssohn, 09, Chopin, 1810, Verdi, 1813. So you get a mark. Good. Frank. Frank, the Mills brothers.
The oldest brother.
No.
The father.
Eventually.
Yes. Yes, because the father took... started as brothers, and then the father took over. Because one went into the raincoat business or something, or died.
One of them died, actually. Father, yes. You got it, because the father took over. He was the oldest of the Mills brothers. That's right. Ian, which of these composers was born first? Vaughan Williams, Gustav Holst, Havergal Brian?
Well, I've heard of a photo finish. This was almost a photo start.
Yes.
They must be fairly close together. But I think it must be Vaughan Williams.
That's right. Yes, 1872. Holst, 74. Havergal Brian, 1876. As you say, nearly a photo start. Yes. Dennis, sorry.
I was only going to say that he was the first sort of great figure of music with whom I was confronted when I started my career as a singer. Because we were doing an opera on the radio called Hugh the Drover, which was one of his compositions. And he suddenly turned up at a rehearsal of this, which struck terror into my heart, certainly, because I didn't feel I knew my part very well the day he came. And he was absolutely delightful and gracious to everybody. And then he came to a rehearsal we did after the first live performance, and he said... I thought it was very good, and the only thing is I couldn't hear the piccolo, but my wife heard it. and apparently this happens with a lot of people. He had a bit of hardness of hearing, and it was the upper frequencies, and the piccolo was the only thing he couldn't hear. But it was so sweet. He said, I couldn't hear it, but my wife could.
I went to the last, I think, of the Leith Hill festivals, and... they said to him, look, we've got 12 minutes to spare. Is there anything you want to do? And he said, all my life I wanted to conduct the overture to William Tell. So he rehearsed it. And the oboes had a beautiful soft entry. And he stopped the orchestra and said, oboes, why aren't you playing? He just couldn't hear it. So the oboe said, right, belt it out, boys. So they belted it out. And he said, well, why couldn't you do that the first time?
Your Vaughan Williams sounds like your John Ireland.
Oh, yes, they're all indistinguishable.
They're all the same voice.
They're well upholstered.
That's right, yes. We were talking, if you remember, about musicians who were born first. Dennis, which of these four was born first? Richard Starkey, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, or George Harrison?
I don't know. George Harrison's the youngest, isn't he?
Yes, that's right.
I don't know. I would think John Lennon.
No, actually, no. Oh. Ringo, oh, July 1940. Lennon, October 1940. McCartney in 1942. And George Harrison, as you guessed, in 1943. So I can't give you the mark, can we, I'm afraid. Soothing refrain or song to put a child to sleep. That's how my dictionary defines a lullaby. Here's a quartet of lullabies for you to identify. John, who was rocked to sleep, we're told, with this music?
Sounds to me like Poulenc.
Yes.
Well, then, in that case, it's probably Baa the elephant.
Let us check the answer with Eleanor Brom.
In the great forest, a little elephant was born. His name was Baa.
Three cheers for the man on my left. That's right. Baa the elephant, yes. Back to my piano for yours, Frank. Frank, what sort of a lullaby is this?
To coast and shore to shore. It's called the Transatlantic Lullaby.
Yes, lovely song.
Lovely.
I've never played it or put it in a programme without getting countless letters from people asking about it. It is called Transatlantic Lullaby, and it's a lovely tune written by Geoffrey Wright.
Can't you play the whole chorus?
Yes, I can play the whole chorus, but I'm not going to do it. Oh, no. It You'll came from one
money.
Of those ambassadors' reviews from the Sweet and Low, Sweetest and Lowest.
Walter Christian.
Christian Dance.
That's right, yes. Still lullabies. Ian, whose lullaby is this?
Oh, it's very effective. I nearly dropped off there. But, no, I'm not very happy.
Should I play you a chord by the same composer?
Do. Oh, well, that's marvellous. Well, it's Debussy.
Oh, there's another chord by the same composer, if I can find it. Yes, you don't know whose lullaby it is, then, do you?
No.
He got the name wrong, actually. He called it Jimbo's lullaby, and he meant Jumbo's lullaby in the suite like, for his little daughter. Dennis, soothing refrain, it said in my definition of lullaby. Who is delivering this soothing refrain?
Yeah, that's a lady you've got me with before on a previous programme.
Yes.
In fact, twice.
It's been a long time ago.
Yes, it was. And I said Dinah Washington, and it wasn't. And it was Della Reese.
Della Reese, you got it. You worked your way to it, yes. Della Reese was the singer. I'm going to play a medley on the piano of eight familiar tunes. The first four are for John and Frank to identify. The second four are for Ian and Dennis to identify. And, gentlemen, the initial letters of all eight titles spell down the name of a musical instrument.
That's clever.
That's clever.
Yes.
A musical instrument,
as Chris Barber would be the first to confirm.
C-L-R-I-N-E-T.
He wasn't even listening.
Trombone.
Gentlemen, right. Take care, though, because some of the themes I'm choosing are from middle bits or verses.
Right.
First four for you, second four for you.
Thank you.
First four from the Muir side, the Amis side.
Is it the new business?
Business, good, that's the first one.
Like new business,
yes.
New.
Good.
And they don't new, number two.
New, neither do I.
No, it was Romance from the Desert Song.
So the first two letters are N-R.
No, no, they're not. Yes. Carry on with the titles, please, for the moment.
Over the rainbow.
Over the rainbow, yes. And then...
I was getting that, and you moved on. And
yes.
Obliterated my melody line with another one. It's
a
wartime thing.
Give you a little help with the start of it.
Oh, God. I know it so well.
Can't wait. I'm afraid.
No, forget it.
Moonlight Serenade.
That's it, yes.
Ben Miller's signature tune. You got 2 out of 4. 2 half marks equals 1.
I got trombone there before we started.
Well, so far. Frank, you've ruined the suspense. We've only got trom so far.
We've only got trom, we've got trombone.
I think I've got trom anyway. Right, what about the bone? Ian and Dennis?
Be my love.
Be my love, yes.
Over my shoulder.
Over my shoulder goes one, care off, yes.
Nobody knows.
How do you do that?
Oh, it's a sort of bit of work in, behind the hooter.
And I make it trombonal.
What's the last one, then?
Little star.
Yes, but in Spanish.
Oh, well, even in English, it's little star.
Yes.
I put it down the estrelita.
Yes, yeah, that's right. So you've got 2 marks. The instrument is the brombonel. The slide brombonel, actually. Now, estrelita, little star. Yes. You've got 2 there. I don't know whether there exists a national union...
What about
national
trombone? Hang on,
You don't get any marks for that. No, that was just help you.
But
you
how
see.
Do you get no... There's no... Oh, there's...
Have you done?
Carry on.
I'll say it again. I don't know whether there exists a national society or union of undertakers, but I do know that one of our regular subscribers has suggested that they might need a signature tune or a theme song. Can you, in other words, suggest one? Undertakers, funeral directors, or even embalmers? It's a slightly down-key subject, but it's been suggested. We thought we'd have a go at it. John, a suitable signature tune for the National Union of Undertakers.
After you've gone...
Yes. That's it. That was it. That's got us off to a good start. Frank, any ideas?
I'd like to combine the talents of a singer and a great composer. 2 talents. Hayden Coffins,
yes,
with Handel's.
Oh, yes. There aren't many puns left after that, are there? Ian, any ideas that haven't been used already?
Oh, what a beautiful morning.
Oh, yes. Dennis,
that's
please, can
one.
We have yours?
Yes, I'm just crossing out. Oh, what a beautiful... Well, there was a song called I'm Walking Behind You. And I believe there was a swing tune called Catch You Now, Dig You Later.
It's about unbeatable, I think, yes.
Or that emphasis. There's that old hillbilly, I'm heading for the last roundup.
Or well, the unsuccessful undertaker, I ain't got no body.
Yes, or of course, a tomb with a view.
The one I amused myself thinking of with plenty of time to spare was an old song that I thought an undertaker could sing to his client. Remember, I don't care what you used to be, I know what you are today. And so to the party piece, the last round of all, with some full-blooded singing, especially blooded in the case of Dennis Norden. John, this is a... this is a rather a national...
Blooded, yes.
Rather nationalistic round, as it happens, and to launch you on the Scotch Rhapsody from Facade, I have arranged for an orchestral lead-in.
Do not take a bath in Jordan, Gordon, on the holy Sabbath, on the peaceful day, said the huntsman, playing in his old bagpipe, boring to death the pheasant and the snipe, boring the ptarmigan and the grouse for fun, boring the worst than a nine-ball gun, till the flaxen leaves or the prunes are ripe, at the tartan wind are droning in the pipe, and they heard Macpherson say, where do the winds go? What hotels hide their bustles and their gay umbrellas? And would there be room, would there be room, would there be room for me? There is a hotel at Ostend, cold as the wind without an end, haunted by ghostly poor relations of Bostonian conversations, bagpipes rotting through the walls, and there the pearl ropes fall like shawls with a noise like marine waterfalls, and another little drink wouldn't do us any harm, pierces through the sabbatical calm, so do not take a bath in Jordan, Gordon, on the holy Sabbath, on the peaceful day, or you'll never go to heaven, Gordon Macpherson, speaking purely as a private person. That is the place. That is the place. That is the place for me.
Marvellous, that one.
That wins. What is it?
What a memory, John. Walton, it's from Facade.
Yeah.
Walton and Sitwell.
Great. Poems, I think you win the kind of decathlon with that.
Yes.
Really, I mean, it goes with the music. I mean, there is an accompaniment to it. But the idea is that Edith Sitwell wanted to write things in rhythms of music in words.
Mm. Mm. Well, wasn't it first recorded at Aeolian
first
Hall?
First performed at Aeolian Hall in Bond Street, that's
and
right.
And she read it behind a screen through a huge megaphone.
That's right. Do you know who walked out in disgust? Noel Coward.
Yes.
Yeah. He left
well, he described her later as Hernia Whittlebot. And there was a certain coolness between them for 40 years.
A chill, in fact. Frank, a different nationality, your song, and it was the first published song, I think, written by Rodgers and Hart. It's the only lyric I know that rhymes fancy with Delancey, and it's Manhattan. Nice, nice song. Shall we have a go at it?
We'll... How about that?
Just press on, I'll be there eventually.
We'll have Manhattan, the Bronx and Staten Island too. It's lovely going through the zoo. It's very fancy in old Delancey Street, you know. The subway charms us so, with breezes blowing there to and fro. And tell me what street compares to Mott Street in July? Sweet push cars gliding gently by. The great big city's a wondrous toy, just built for a girl and boy. We'll make Manhattan into an isle of joy. The words were approximate.
Yes, give or take an inversion or two, yes. Then it's south of Manhattan, way down yonder. In fact, is New Orleans. Song written by Turner Layton of Layton and Johnston fame.
We used to sing it very fast, but I can't
sing
it that fast.
Let's do a nice lilting tempo.
Yeah,
let's...
that's where you're going to be. Yeah. Way down yonder in New Orleans, in the land of those peachy scenes, there's a Garden of Eden. That's what I mean, where Creole babies with flashing eyes softly whisper with tender sighs, stop, won't you give your lady fair a little smile? Stop, I bet your life you'll linger there a little while. There is heaven right here on earth with those beautiful queens way down yonder in New Orleans.
We're nearly there at the end, weren't we? Ian, let's bring things nearer home as far as you're concerned with the Song of the Clyde.
Okay.
Okay, right.
I sing of a river I'm happy beside. The song that I sing is a song of the Clyde.
Of all Scottish rivers, it's dearest to me. It flows from Lead Hills all the way to the sea. It borders the orchards of Lanark so fair, meanders through meadows with sheep grazing there. But from Glasgow to Greenock, in towns on each side, the hammer's ding-dong is the song of the Clyde. Oh, the River Clyde, the wonderful Clyde. The name of it thrills me and fills me with pride, and I'm satisfied whate'er may betide. The sweetest of songs is the song of the Clyde.
My job now to tell you who's won. Well, nobody's won. This week, it's a tie. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreiber.